still very blessed to be here today, the mercy of Satchinanda Maharaj, the spiritual master, because to be in an assembly of intimate devotees is a very rare thing. Now you may protest and say, I'm not an intimate devotee, I'm an external person, but it's not true. You go to the streets of Cologne, go to the streets of Berlin. How many people can you find who want to come and hear about Krishna? It's a great blessing to be in association with devotees, and we should appreciate that thing. So I want to thank all of you very much for letting us come here to your temple and come to your hearts and giving us some opportunity to share some things with you. So today is a sacred day on this Krishna Janmashtami. Before we begin our main part of our talk, we should say a few words about Krishna's appearance. We may ask a question, when did this festival begin? This is described in the Uttara Kanda of the Bhavishya Purana, that on one occasion, Yudhisthira Maharaj, he asked Krishna, my dear Lord, please tell us in detail about the observance of Janmashtami, and when did that observance begin? We printed this in our 183rd issue of Krishna Katamita Daily Magazine, for those who are taking notes. And Krishna then, he replied, he said that Yudhisthira, when the wrestling match was over, and Kamsa, we celebrated his disappearance day, at that time, Devaki, she entered into the wrestling arena. And then all the members of the Kukura and Andaka dynasties surrounded and began to praise Devaki and Vasudeva. At that time, Devaki, she began to cry. And with great affection, she put me on her lap. And she said, my dear son, And then with tears in his eyes, Vasudeva came and he embraced Balaram and I. And then Vasudeva said, today, my life has become successful and glorious because I've been able to see my two sons, the glories of the Yadu dynasty. And then seeing the happiness of his parents, everyone there became happy. They all bowed down before me, Krishna's telling me this here. And they said, today is such a good day. Today is a disappearance day of Kamsa. We should have a big festival. And then they asked him, Yasmindine Prayushyeta Devaki Tonjanayadana Tadinam Devaikunta Kurmaste Tatuchotsavam Samyad Bhakti Pama Papanam Prasadam Guru Keshava. O Krishna, please tell us about the day when you were born, the day when Devaki gave birth to you. Maharaj gave a little clue this morning. And we also won't go in the direction that he just gave a clue about. But some people have a disagreement about this. But anyway, in some places they consider Devaki to be the mother of Krishna. We won't argue that right now. So we'd like to know what day that was, because we want to have a festival in your honor. So Krishna, please tell us, please be kind to your surrendered devotees. So Vasudeva, he heard their words, he became very happy. He looked at Balaram and myself, Krishna said. His hair stood on end in ecstasy, and he said, let the desires of the people be fulfilled. Please tell them what they want to know. And then Krishna began to tell them about the Janmashtami festival. And they began to observe some rituals, four times to the feet, two times to the waist, three times to the face, seven times around. One, two, three, four, like that. But in Braj, they didn't have any declaration like that. They just observed Krishna's festival with great love. And they didn't make any counting when they were offering different things. So we should have some understanding of the purpose of this day. And Satchinanda Maharaj spoke in such a nice way this morning. I like this topic very much, Maharaj. My Guru Maharaj used to say that Guru put puts Krishna in the heart of the disciple. And that's what happened. Vasudeva, he had Krishna in his heart. And he transferred Krishna from his heart to the heart of Devaki, and then Krishna went to the womb of Devaki. And that's the purpose of this day. Vaishnavas observe the Hari Bhakti Vilas. But sometimes they become a little confused about it. This is a very, very big subject, like a doctoral thesis in and of itself. We won't just touch on this very briefly. Sometimes devotees, they become a little confused. They hear that this book is so important, and they pick up and read the book, and it says that a very important thing, your guru should have clean teeth. And that he should come from a higher caste. And it says that you should do four of these, and two of these, and three of those, and you kind of wonder. But then at the same time, there are many wonderful verses in it about bhakti. And Srila Prabhupada is quoting the book. How do we understand this book? This is an important question. There are two types of persons in this world. Two types of persons, we should say, who worship God. Those persons who have Shasharta Avadharana Mahi Shraddha. Faith, which is governed by Shastra, is governed by fear. I don't do what everything says in Shastra, I may go to hell. So I better do this thing. And they're always looking for what does Shastra say about how many times to do this and this. So there's some necessity for that. And then there's another type of person who has Bhagavad Lila Madhurja Moya Shraddha. Madhurja Moya Lobha Shraddha. These are described by Thakur Bhaktivinoda in his commentary in the first verse of Shikshashtaka. This type of faith is governed by greed, and it comes by hearing. Satam prasangam, prasanga katas, we were speaking of the other day. Topics directly about Krishna from the lotus mouth of pure devotees. And a kind of greed arises. And they may follow rules, they may not. So, in the 15th chapter of the Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sanatana Goswami gives almost 300 verses describing the observance of Janmashtami and the importance of it. And in the very beginning, he says, Nityatvam chaparam tasya bhagavat pinanam matam vidivakya visesascha karane pratyayavataha. The observance of Janmashtami is accepted as a regulative principle in three different ways. There are three different motivations why we observe Janmashtami. So we should do a little test and look inside of our heart and see, what is my reason for observing Janmashtami? The first is that Krishna becomes pleased. Bhagavat pinanamattam. Krishna becomes pleased when we observe this. As Maharaj is saying this morning, this is a very good day because Madan Mohan is so pleased that everyone is coming to observe his birthday. He's so happy and he's giving so much mercy. So this is one motivation. I want to observe Janmashtami because Krishna becomes pleased. Guru becomes pleased. Second motivation is Didivakya. Shastra says, you're supposed to do this. Third reason is that if you don't do it, karane pratyavagyataha, it's a great fault. And so then Sanatana Goswami, he gives two verses describing how devotees observe Janmashtami for the pleasure of Krishna. Then he gives something like 50 verses describing, maybe 100, the shastric reasons why you do this. And if you do this, you may get a shiny new red bicycle. You may get lots of money. You might become Indra. You become free from sin. You may go to the heavenly planet. Very good. You may become the Prime Minister of Germany if you observe Janmashtami. And he describes then another 100 or so verses about what happens if you don't do it. And if you eat grains on this day, you'll go to hell. And if you don't observe the festival on this day, very, very bad thing. You'll go to hell for so long, you'll forget that we ever existed on this planet. So this is an interesting subject. It's very similar to a description that Thakur Bhaktivinoda gives in Chaitanya Sikshamrita. Therein he describes four different basic reasons why devotees approach the Lord. These are known technically as Bhaya, Asha, Kartavya Buddhi, and Rag. Bhaya means out of fear. If I don't observe Janmashtami, I may go to hell. So at least one day a year I have to go to the temple and I have to observe Janmashtami. Okay, that's good. That's something. That's Bhaya, out of fear. Or if I don't do this, my Guru Maharaj is going to be very angry with me. That's fear. Another motivation is Asha. Asha means I want something. Wow, I read in Hari Bhakti Vilas that if I do this thing, I'll get so much money. I'll get a pretty wife, a nice husband. Yes, I should observe Janmashtami. Another reason is Kartavya Buddhi. Kartavya Buddhi means out of sense of duty. Shastra says I should do this. It's important. I have to follow Shastra. My Guru Maharaj told me, so I should do it. Why are you doing it? I don't know. But my Guru Maharaj told me to do it. So I'm doing it. That's better, Bhaktivinoda says, than Vaya and Asha, out of fear, some fruit of desires. At least we have some understanding. I have a commitment. I have some obligation. I should do this. But the best thing is rag, out of a desire to please Krishna. That should be our motivation. So we've been speaking something for the last few days about Sri Krishna, Krishna, Chaitanya, Sasanatana Rupaka, Gopala Raghunathabda, Brajabhava Pahima. This verse, which is found in the beginning of each chapter of Gopal Champu, describes, has two different meanings. One meaning is it has different names of Krishna, and another meaning it is it has different names of Mahaprabhu and his associates. One meaning is Gopal, is there Krishna on the altar. Another meaning is Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And like that. So we've been speaking about how there's no difference between Gaura Leela and Krishna Leela. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come. He's Krishna. But he's Krishna Chaitanya. Chaitanya means consciousness. Krishna Chaitanya means that person who's absorbed in the consciousness of Krishna. Krishna Chaitanya means that person who wants everyone to become absorbed in consciousness of Krishna. Krishna Chaitanya means that person who wants our consciousness to be imbued with Krishna, who wants Krishna to appear in our heart. And therefore, Narottam Das Thakur sings, Gande chana dore gora, dati he chumara, kori shuama, This is how he worships the Lord. This is how he calls out the names of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Dante Chinadori Gora, withdraw in my teeth. Now we can do an experiment. You don't have to do it here, but when you go back to your ashram, before you go there, go and pick some grass from the field, a good amount, and then put that in your mouth, okay? And you can go stand in front of the mirror and see how loudly you can call out the names of Gora. What does it mean, Dande Chana Dori Gora, Daki He Tomar, that I'm calling out your name with straw in my teeth? You can't call out someone's name if you have your mouth full of straw. It has a purport. This chanting doesn't take place from the lips and tongue. It comes from the heart. And therefore, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hears Narottam's prayer, Dande chana dhori gora daki he tomorrow. He says, okay, what do you want? And Narottam says, kripa kori esho amar. Hridaya mandire. Please, make my heart into your temple. And it'll become that. if I chant your name from my heart. So this is the purpose of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada said, our purpose is not to give more religion. We have enough of that. He said, you may be a Hindu, you may be a Muslim, you may be a Jew, you may be a Buddhist. It's no problem. You can be a member of the Hare Krishna movement. I have to tell this little story, a nice story. We were just recently in Dnepropetrovsk in Ukraine. And the devotees there told me a very nice story. They were distributing books, and one day there were a couple of Orthodox Christian priests, and one of them took a book. The devotee was very pleased. A week later, that priest came to the temple. He said, wow, I've been reading this book. This is amazing. It answers all my questions. What do I do? How do I practice this? Well, you just chant this mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And that Orthodox Christian priest started chanting Hare Krishna. He kept his Orthodox robes, and he continued his position of being a priest in the temple for several years. And then one day he had some pain in his side. He went to the doctor. And the doctor gave him a checkup. The doctor came back and said, I have some bad news. You have cancer. And you only have a few weeks to live. So what did he do? He went to the temple. And he said, I only have a few weeks to live. Can I please stay here? And the devotees started chanting Hare Krishna around his bed. And a few weeks later, he left his body with the devotees chanting Hare Krishna around him. This is Srila Prabhupada's movement. We're not interested in starting a new religion. We're not interested in starting a new dress. In the beginning, Prabhupada didn't even insist on saris and dhotis. He said, you can wear a necktie, wear tilak, but you can dress as you like. But the main thing was the substance in the heart. And this is the purpose of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. This is the mood that we want to observe this Janmashtami festival in. We don't want to just do some rituals. Mother Mohan is not impressed by that. But he's so pleased. If we observe this festival for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada, for the pleasure of our Guru, and for the pleasure thereby of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Madan Mohan. And that was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's purpose. So the last few days we've been speaking something about this. And in particular, it's a very vast topic, how Gauralila is Krishna Lila, is Gauralila is Krishna Lila. We were speaking something about why Krishna has a blackish complexion and a yellow dhoti, why Radharani has a yellowish complexion and a blue sari. Because what's on the outside is the opposite of the inside. Krishna wears a yellow dhoti because on the inside is Radharani. Radharani wears a blue sari because on the inside in her heart is Shyam Sundar, Krishna. So we spoke something about upadis and how to develop bhakti, sarva-upadhi vinir muktam, we have to give that up. Krishna wanted to become a bhakta, but he has so many upadis. Everyone is coming to the temple and throwing flowers and saying, hey, Bhagavan, you're God. He has so many upadis. And he taught us to give up upadis, so he stole the clothes of the gopis, which represent those designations. Those upadis. And because he always reciprocates with his devotees, we told a story from the Sri Krishna Vijaya, how the gopis came and they stole Krishna's clothes. And then Krishna was standing, his neck up to the water, feeling very shy, and the gopis were laughing at him on the bank of the Jamuna with his clothes. And he said, how do you feel now, Krishna? Krishna said, can I have my clothes back, please? Mm-hmm. And then it was Srimati Radharani to return those clothes. There's a purport. If you want to become a devotee, you have to give up designations. Even Shama Sundar, Krishna, when he wants to become a devotee, he has to give up his designations. And so the gopis take away his clothes. And who gives his clothes back to him? Srimati Radharani. He's dressed in that. Mm-hmm. And therefore we say that Radhabala Dyuti Suvalitam Nuni Krishna Sarupam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but he's dressed in the mood, in the complexion of Srimati Radharani. So we can't approach Krishna unless we approach Gaura. And we can't understand Gaura unless we get the mercy of Krishna. The two are in cause and effect. In his Chaitanya Mangal, Srila Lochan Das Thakur, he describes something about the amazing quality of the pastime of Mahaprabhu's sannyasa. I'll chant this and you can chant Hare Krishna's response. Nigara hasya katha kai vata hape vairagya adbhuta prabhu bhute nina mahate Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare hasya katha kai vata hape I'm going to tell you something. He says, Suno Sarva Jana, everyone listen very carefully. Vairagya Buddha, I want to tell you about the amazing renunciation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his sannyas lila. Purare Bandala Chuda, Ebe Ke Shahina. Previously he had such beautiful hair, but now he has a shaved head. Natabharadesha Chari. Previously, he was dressed as the greatest of dancers, but he gave that up. And Parila Kopina. Now he's wearing a kopan. Now he's become a sannyasi. Kali Yuga Dandadari. Haila Sannyasi. This is a very, very wonderful subject matter. It can be described in many different ways. In Debrecen, we gave up in Hungary, we just recently gave a very long discussion about how Krishna once took sannyas. And there's another story I was going to tell today, but there's not time, about how Radharani once took sannyas. It's a very interesting thing. Srila Prabhupada, in Nectar of Devotion, he's described a very interesting thing. In this world, people are very fascinated by dress. And sometimes they want to dress as a cowboy, hat, jeans. And other times they want to wear a bikini. Or they want to dress like this or like that. People are so fascinated with this dress, and even they're very fascinated today with what they call cross-dressing. Sometimes boys dress as ladies and vice versa. You might be interested to know that the origin of this is in Krishna Lila. Prabhupada writes in Nectar Devotion chapter 42, Krishna once dressed himself up exactly like Radharani just to create fun among his friends. He put on golden earrings, and because he was blackish, he smeared the pulp of kumkum all over his body in order to become as fair as Radharani. By seeing this dress, Krishna's friend Subal became very astonished. So there are many different stories like this. Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, he says that devotees who want to understand more about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna should read Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's Krishna Bhavanamrita. And there in that book, gosh, I think it's the 16th chapter, he speaks about how once Krishna decorated Radharani exactly like himself. He chanted some mantra and Radharani couldn't speak anything. And then the gopis, when they came, they saw two Krishnas. And so like this, sometimes Radharani appears like Krishna, and other times Krishna, he dresses up exactly like Radharani. This pastime is called Viparita Lila or Viparita Bhava. It's a very, very wonderful pastime, and it's described in different places. We'd like to tell you a story today. I was thinking to tell a few, but this one story is so nice that I think we'd better just try to digest one story nicely than have a lot of stories. But still, I'll mention briefly a couple other stories. This is from a very rare book which we were just finishing some translation of this morning. It's called Vaidagya Vilas. It's a book that's very famous in Braj and Mukshkoli Vaishnavas. And there are many wonderful pastimes of Radha and Krishna in this book.
Start
now with the procession and the Julan Yatra. Okay. But we listen
to this one story, and then maybe we can go on.
Well, maybe I could just introduce this story, because this story, I wasn't looking close at the time. I was going to look. We got 10 minutes, I think, before the Julan Yatra begins.
That's okay, yes.
So maybe I'll sit for 5 minutes just to introduce this.
No, I thought you'd even tell the story, because we are now...
One day, at Nandishwar, Krishna was speaking to that same Subal that Prabhupada writes about here in the purport of Nectar Devotion, and how Subal was so astonished to see Krishna dressed up like Radharani. And one day he told Subal about the love of Radharani. He said to him that Radharani is so amazing. Her love is so astonishing. If I just touch her, I get extreme pleasure. And if I can't see her, even for one moment, I become unhappy. If I can see Radha, I forget everything. He said if Radha could be a deity, then I would put her in the temple and I would always worship her. Amara sevaratar ashtakala jai nija dukha nai gani mora sukachai. She spends all her time serving me. That's all she wants. She doesn't care anything about her own unhappiness. She only wants my happiness. Bala sakhi ama vete kichana haiva purusha janama ami britta jiva. Oh, Subal, my dear friend, tell me. I haven't done anything. My whole life is useless. This is Krishna's nature. This is his inherent quality. He's Bhagavan. He's always worshipped. But he's always thinking, ye itamam prapadyante, ye itamam prapadyante, ye itamam prapadyante. How can I reciprocate with my devotees? The devotees are Bhagavat Bhaktiman, but Krishna's is Bhakta Bhaktiman. We're devotees of Krishna, but Krishna's the devotee of his devotee. And he's always thinking, Radharani is serving me in so many ways. How can I reciprocate? Rani haita jari sangiti rahita manasari kutta seva trakiyakurita. Subal, if I could become a woman, then I could always be with her. And I could serve her. Bhavite, bhavite, Krishna, tada kora bela. Radha dhashi kori jena, apanam janila. Thinking like this again and again and again for many, many days, Krishna finally decided to become a maidservant of Radharani. Subhavera pratita vibhulina bachana. Garibini dasi de shakuraha vrachana. So he told Subal, Garibini dasi de shakuraha vrachana. You dress me like a maidservant, but like a garibini dasi, a very poor lady, not an opulent lady. Radharani is so merciful. Parama karuna moi radha vinodini. If she sees my unhappiness, then she must give me the right to serve her. Subal said, okay, this is your pastime. I'll dress you in such a way that you get the chance. So they went to a lonely place. This is a very nice pastime, by the way, for pujaris. I highly recommend for pujaris to listen very attentively to this pastime, because you can learn a lot of things, how to dress the deity and how to serve the deities. So they went to a lonely place, just like in the morning, pujaris closed the curtains. And then Subal started dressing Krishna He started, he put a very rough, old, little torn, gray sari, not a very attractive sari, and a choli on Krishna. And then he put some shawl, some bhutariya on him, and a couple of fruits in the top part here, and put some kind of hair knot on his head, and some bangles on his wrists, and a little nose ring, and a necklace around his neck. Krishna's astonishing beauty as a maidservant enchanted the whole universe. Then Krishna took a piece of rotten old cloth, and he collected a few other old rotten pieces of cloth and a mirror and a few garlands. And he wrapped them up. And then he began to walk from Nandagaon to Jagat. When he was seeing this beautiful dasi walking on the road, people became astonished. And everyone was stopping and wanting to talk to her. But that dasi became very shy and avoided all of them and finally reached Jagat. And when that dasi reached Jagat, she was very shy. Radharani Sakhi saw her and he said, "Where are you from?" Just like someday, perhaps we'll enter into Goloka Vrindavan and the gopis will ask you the same question. Where are you from? Where did you come from? Who is your guru? Where are you going? And they began to ask in different ways. And then Krishna spoke in the voice of a woman, "I belong to Mathura. I'm going to the house of Radha. Where is her house? I'm a foreigner. I want to meet her." And at that time, Radharani, she was just inside the house and she heard some talking going on. She asked one of her sakis, "Who's uttering my name? Who's calling for me?" That sakhi went outside and she came back and said, "There's one foreigner here. Some person who doesn't belong in some foreign place. Some black-complexioned maiden." Radharani said, "Bring her here." And so they brought Shyamasunda there. And Krishna came in dressed as a maidservant. And he saw there Radharani with all of his sakis. And Krishna acted like he'd never seen Radharani before. He asked those gopis, "I came here to meet someone named Radha. Is she here?" And the sakhi said, "That's her there." They pointed to Radharani, and Krishna then bowed down to her on the floor. When Radharani saw the beauty of this dasi, she became very enchanted. She said, "Come, come, have a seat next to me." But Shyam wouldn't sit next to Radharani. He just sat down on the ground. And he was holding his head down, looking very sad. And Radharani said, "What is your name? Where do you live? What is your caste? Why have you come here? Why are you moving around alone by yourself? Don't you have a husband or someone else? You're very young and beautiful." And that maidservant, she replied, "I've been alone for a long time. And I roam around like this. I'm a Vaishya, and I live in Mathura. My name is Ramika, and I live with my parents. I'm very poor, and I don't have anyone to maintain me. I've heard about your glories, and so I came here to be your maidservant. Iha pada kala hita manite janimu, tomara chadana ani sharanulimu. I've been thinking about you for so long, and I've come to take shelter of your lotus feet. Please keep me as your maidservant for the rest of my life. I've heard you're very merciful. You fulfill everyone's desires. Please be merciful to me." When Radharani heard the humble words of that Ramika Dasi, Radharani's heart melted. See, Radharani's heart melts when someone comes before her as a very poor, humble person. And Radharani told her, "Don't worry, I'll accept you. Now tell me, what do you want in exchange? Ramika said, I don't want anything in exchange. I only want to serve you. Radharani said, okay, what kind of service can you do? Do you know how to do email? Can you work on the web and things? And Ramika said, I can do anything that you request. So then Radharani, she said, how can you know about all different types of services? This is not a cheap thing to go before Radharani and say that I know about all different types of services. She's the most expert in all types of services. And Ramika Gopi said, I only want your mercy. When Srimati Radharani saw the humility and sincerity of that beautiful dasi, Ramika, she became so pleased, and she told her girlfriends, you keep this Ramika with you. Seeing this very poor woman, I feel sorry for her. She's so beautiful. Her complexion is blackish. And just see, Sakis, her eyes. How expressive her eyes are. Just like the eyes of my Shama Sundar. And her lips are just like the lips of my Shama Sundar. They're very red, like a pomegranate fruit. And just see her beautiful legs and slender waist. Getting a maidservant like Ramika reminds me of my Pranavallabha Shama Sundar. Gives me so much happiness. In this way, Krishna fulfilled his desire to serve Radharani. There was no bhakta program. There was no one there to instruct Krishna how to serve Radharani. But Krishna's Ramika was observing the services very, very carefully, with great concentration. He made a bed for Srimati Radharani. And in that bed, he placed a very celestial, beautiful sheet made out of silk. And then taking very many different types of highly aromatic flowers, that maidservant, Ramika, decorated that bed with many beautiful designs and pictures made out of flowers. And then he took some very fragrant oil and sprayed it over the bed. And then he took some golden slippers and put them next to the bed. And then Srimati Radharani came, and when she saw that bed, she was very pleased. All of Radharani's sakis were also very charmed to see those arrangements. Radharani, she told her sakis, this is amazing. How is it possible that such a poor woman like Ramika, very poor lady, she doesn't have a decent sari to wear, how can she be so expert in all these very high-class services? How does she know how to make these decorations? When Krishna heard that, he became a little nervous. And he quickly told her, when I was in Mathura, I was serving one of Kamsa's queens. And I learned a lot of things by doing that. So then Radharani laid down and took rest. And when she got out from her rest, then Ramika was right there, here. And Ramika took her feet and put some golden slippers on her feet. And then brought her some very nice scented water to rinse her mouth. Then he poured some very nice water on her hands, rinsed her hands. And then very carefully he wiped her face with a fine towel. All this time Ramika was being very careful not to touch her, because Krishna knew, if I touch her, then she'll understand who I really am. Radharani became very pleased with Ramika's service. Then Ramika, next, he arranged for Radharani's tiffin when she woke up. This happens after the deities wake up in the afternoon. And he prepared some very nice sweet fruits and sweets. He cut the fruits in a very artistic way, making some of the fruits look like flowers and different ornaments. And then he arranged those fruits and sweets on many different silver and gold plates in different ornamental ways, making different pictures and symbols. And then he filled up a golden jug full of scented water, and he arranged for a very celestial seat, and he called for Srimati Radharani to come. Radharani came there and sat down with all of her sakis. And then Ramika served all of them so nicely, they were all satisfied. And then Ramika offered some water for rinsing their mouth, and then some betel leaf. And then sitting there, surrounded by all of her sakis, Radharani began to speak about Ramika. I've never had such a maidservant as Ramika. Where does she come from? She's impressed me so much with her service. She smiles and speaks so softly. Her gentle looks steal my mind. She's so humble. What can I say, sakis? I'm always thinking of Ramika. Day and night, all I can think of is Ramika. She serves me with such care and affection. She never thinks of herself. And then Radha told her friends that someone who serves you so nicely and so purely, they should not have any need themselves. Their mistress, their master should take care of such a servant. So she told her sakis, very quickly now, you go and bring me my jewelry box. And bring me that chest full of very beautiful dresses. The gopis brought those things there. And then Radharani called for Ramika and told her, Ramika, I'm so pleased with you, but it causes pain to my heart to see you dressed in this old sari. Please, take off your sari. And take off your ornaments, and we'll give you some nice dress and ornaments. Ramika, she said, I'm very sorry. Thank you very much. But I don't need these things. My ornaments and my dress are very good. And besides that, I have my nice bundle of dresses that I received at the time of my marriage. And Radharani said, open your bundle. Let me see what you have. And Ramika was a little shy, and Radharani took the bundle and opened it up. And she saw some old, torn, dirty rags inside that bundle, an old broken mirror, and some old broken garland. Radharani, she laughed, and she said, you should wear these dresses and ornaments. And Ramika didn't say anything. Krishna just held his head down very shyly. Radharani said, this is the nature of poor people. They're very, very shy. So she told her sakis, you come here, you dress Ramika. And so then two sakis, one on each side, they grabbed a hold of Ramika and they forcibly took off her dress and ornaments. But Ramika was holding very tightly. So her blouse. And looking a little shy. And they tried and tried. But Ranga Devi and Sudevi, who were the gopis executed to do that thing, finally they said, Radhe, we're defeated. We have no power. We can't take off her blouse. And then Chitrasakhi and Indulekha said, you can't even. I will do it then. And then they came to do that job. And then Krishna really held on very tightly. And Chitra and Indulekha, they tried and tried, and they couldn't take it off. And then Srimati Radharani, she said, get out of the way. I'll do it. And she went, and she started pulling on the blouse of Ramika. And then at that time, Rashika Shekhar, Krishna, the crushed jewel of Rasa, began to cry. And Radharani, she said, poor people, they don't understand the value of high-quality things. They're attached like this. And then she forcibly pulled off the blouse of Ramika, and then two mangoes fell. And Radharani was looking, and there is the chest of her Shamsundam, and everyone was quiet. They were stunned for one moment. And then Radharani said, can Hare Krishna respond, please? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Bharata Nata Bhare Chai Chai Yatumara Kaya Raja Kaya Chai
said, Balo Balo, Rasika Nagar, very, very good. Oh, my dear Rasika Nagar, who taught you to behave like this? Janni Janni Dasyami, life after life, I'm your servant. I always serve your lotus feet. Tell me, my Lord, how is it you become my maidservant? Paridari Parukanata, how is it you've held my feet and put shoes on my feet? Remembering this, I'm feeling very, very ashamed. And then at that time, Srimati Radharani began to serve the lotus feet of Govinda. And she bathed his feet and put him on a celestial throne. And she dressed him in a yellow dhoti, very nice ornaments. She decorated his hair and put many flowers and drew different designs on his face and sandalwood paste. And she brought many nice things for him to eat and offered him some nice betel nut. And then then Radharani, looking like a lightning bolt, she sat down on the left side of Ghanshyam Krishna, who was just like a cloud. And Krishna spent the night there in Radharani's home and returned back to Nandagaon the next day. The author says, Iha pada sukha paramartha nahi ar. Sarva purusha dera e hoi adar. Shri Govinda. He says, this Shri Govinda Shri Radha hoi prema dina. This pastime of Govinda serving Radharani as his maidservant. There's no higher happiness than this. And he says that Radha dasi mata jai kori abhiman tara sarva vansha krishna kori ne puran. Whoever thinks of himself as a maidservant of Radharani, then Krishna fulfills all their desires. So Krishna, he had a death of the gopis. He's always thinking, Yeyatamam prapadyante, yeyatamam, how can I repay? How can I reciprocate with my devotees? And he tells the gopis, Napareham nirabhadyasam yujam, I don't know how to repay my debt to you. The only way I can repay my debt is if I become like you. And so, Shyam Sundar became Gaura Sundar. He gave up all of his abhiman, all of his designations of being Bhagavan. He gave up all of his upadis, and Sarabhupadi Vanirmuktam Tatparatvina Nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesha Shavanam Bhakti Uchite. He received bhakti. He came in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And this is the purport to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyas. And this is how Shama Sundar becomes Gaura Sundar. And if we don't understand this, if we don't approach Krishna through Lord Gaura Roy, we can't hope to attain Krishna. Because Krishna has come in the mood of a devotee, in the mood of Radharani. And the mood of Radharani is everything. Krishna has come as a maidservant of Radharani. And he's accepting. There's some job openings. He's put out some advertisement in the newspaper. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita and all the devotees are going on Harinam, very loudly saying, come, come. There's a job opening. You can also become a maidservant here in this Sangha. This is a very, very amazing thing. Srila Prabhupada has described something about the amazing nature of Gaura Lila. We want to finish at this point. We know we're very late. Prabhupada has described in Chaitanya Charitamrita in Madhya Lila, chapter 11. He says that the devotees who are always serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are always engaged in spreading the glories of the holy name of the Lord, those devotees, we should respect them as being nitya siddha. And we shouldn't consider them as being conditioned souls. They're Nitya Siddha. Because Gaura Leela is going on even today. And this is the amazing nature of Gaura Leela. He's come in the mood of Radharani. And this is why we don't decorate him. We don't worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna. Because there's more mercy when we worship him as a devotee. Krishna's personified Karuna Shakti, his personified mercy potency, is Srimati Radharani. But that mercy potency he keeps hidden. He keeps locked up in a box inside of another box inside of another box. That mercy potency, that Kripa Shakti, is controlled by his Icha Shakti. But when he comes in the mood of Radharani, not in Srivas Anga, when he's acting like Bhagavan, not at that time, but when he's coming in the mood of Radha and Jagannath Puri and other places, at that time, the Kripa Shakti is allowed to go free and do whatever it wants. And therefore, Rupa Goswami said, Namo Mahabhaganyaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate, that there's no difference between Shama Sundar and Gaura Sundar. Purvasmat Parameva, Hanta Kurunatatapi Janimahi. Just as there's no difference between Krishna and Krishna's name, but Rupa Goswami says there is one difference. Krishna's name is more merciful than Krishna. And similarly, there's one difference between Gaurasundar and Shamasundar. Gaurasundar is more merciful than Shamasundar because he's come in the mood of being a maidservant of Srimati Radharani. He's in the mood of Radha, freely giving that mercy to everyone and inviting everyone, you please come and you also engage in this service. And this is what this movement, this temple, Shishi Radha Madan Mohan, this festival of Janmashtami, this society of Srila Prabhupada, this is an amazing, amazing thing which is being offered. Shri Krishna Janmashtami Maha Mahotsava Ki Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Juva Ki Shri Prabhupada Ki Samaveda Bhakta Vinda Ki Go Premanande Vamsha Kopadu Vishchan Kupa Sindhu Vyeva Chan Sahitana Vipadu. I'm going to take one more minute. Satchinanda Maharaj read a very wonderful poem last night. I'd like to read one poem, a very short poem. This is from a book called Hymns for the Drowning. And it's a translation of a poem written by Nam Alwar. And the poem is called God's Idiots. And this is about the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and what we were doing a few days ago on Harinam. Please listen carefully. Mumbling and prattling the many names, while onlookers say they're crazy. Entering and not entering the cities, standing still or swaying. Before a laughing world, they dance, they leap, undone by feeling. And the gods bow down before them. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki.